remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. This is the moment. This is the place where God steps into Moses' wilderness and calls him out. Now you shouldn't read that God had forgotten about Israel. No, it should be better read that this is the exact precise time in which God had chosen to act. Where God was going to call Moses to lead his people out of slavery and into freedom. You see, God had a plan for Moses. I want to welcome you here today. My name's Kevin. I'm the campus pastor here, and it's so good to be with you. If you haven't been with us for a while, starting back after Easter, we launched into this brand new series called The Wilderness, where we're looking at these places where we wander and feel lost, and maybe we feel like we're separated from God. We're going through this challenging time, this season of our life where things are difficult. And so in it, we see that that God is with us. My wife, week one of the series was in Chicago, and so she wasn't here with us. And so last week, when the bumper showed and the guy's kind of wandering through the desert, she leans over to me and she whispers, she goes, "When I hear the word wilderness, I don't think of the desert." And I leaned back over to her and I said, "That's because you weren't with us week one when we talked about the fact that the wilderness in America, when we hear the word wilderness, we think of a forest, right? That's kind of what we hear about. But in biblical times, the wilderness was this desolate, barren place, a desert, where nothing survived on its own. And that's kind of what we're talking about as we talk about this idea of the wilderness. Now, just to remind you, when we talk about the wilderness for you and me, we're kind of talking about it metaphorically, right? We're not talking about actually wandering through a physical desert or a physical wasteland, but we're talking about those emotional ones, those situations in life. And so we've got this definition for wilderness. It's a challenging season in life that God wants to use to form and deepen our dependence upon him. And as Zach was saying as we were going into that last song, Egypt, maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of a wilderness. Maybe you feel that. Or maybe you're coming out of one, or maybe you can just reflect back on a time where you felt far from God, where you felt like that just everything seemed to be going wrong, and you felt alone. And you might have looked up to heaven at some point in time during that wilderness season and just wondered, where is God? And so we're here to talk about those feelings and those experiences. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at these biblical characters that also go through these wilderness seasons and how God interacts with them. So growing up, for me, I had these two guys that were in my life, and they were my best friends, and they were brothers, all right? And so we grew up in a church that had this old fellowship hall that had a half-court basketball goal set up, and it was still carpet. But it was our life. We were in that fellowship hall, that makeshift gym, anytime we could. Now, look at me. I'm not very tall, and I'm only getting shorter, but the Gailey brothers, my two best friends, they were monsters, and they were built like refrigerators, okay? So they were just big guys, and both well over 6 feet tall, and like I said, pretty big. And so we would play basketball in this gym growing up as much as humanly possible. And so if they were on the same team, everything was fine, all right? Everything was fine. But when they played against each other, and I don't know if you have a brother or if you've ever played with brothers, but when they played against each other, one thing would lead to another, and the next thing you know, two guys are shoving and pushing on each other, and then the next thing you know, they're on the ground and they are wrestling full out. Now, every once in a while, there would be a new guy that would come, and he would play basketball with us. And then the Gailey brothers would start their antics, and they'd start shoving and pushing each other. And this new guy would try to reach in and step between them. This is a bad idea, all right? And so we would grab this guy by the back of his shirt and pull him, saving his life, and just say, hey, you know what? It's best if we just let these two figure this out, okay? And we'll just go grab some water and we'll come back when it's all done. Do you ever feel like in the midst of your wilderness that you're in a wrestling match with God? That you're wrestling with him? Here's something I want you to know about this wrestling match. Maybe you feel like that you're with God. It's a pretty cool thing, actually. God's okay with it. God's okay with the fact that we wrestle with him. You see, in the wilderness, we wrestle with God. That's our big idea today. In the wilderness, we wrestle with God. And so what we want you to see today is that there is some back and forth that goes on. And it's not like the Gaileys, okay? The Gailey brothers wrestling, that's one thing. But for us, I think we know that we're in that season and we're feeling lost and we're feeling hurt. And maybe God's calling us to take some next steps. He might be calling us to try to get out of that. And there's usually just this giant tug of war that's going on in our lives. And so just want you to know that in the wilderness, we wrestle with God. And I want you to know that it's okay. It's okay. So today, that passage of scripture that we read right at the beginning is this middle point of the life of Moses. And what I want to do is try to set up for you as easy as I can, as quick as I can, kind of the backstory of Moses to get to that point, all right? To that point where God remembered Israel and wanted to step in and do something about it. First, we kind of have to know Moses' backstory, because I want you to know that Moses wrestles with God, right? I don't know how much you know about Moses, but that's a pretty famous name. He's a guy that will eventually lead God's people through a parted Red Sea and into freedom from 400 years of slavery. I mean, it's a pretty big deal in the Old Testament. But Moses, in his season of wilderness, he wrestled with God. All right? So we got to start out with this. If you were with us last week, Joseph was the character that we studied in the Bible, and he had led his brothers into Egypt to find food because there was a great famine, and his family, those 12 brothers, they make up Israel, right? God gave his father the name Israel, and so they are the people of Israel, and now they're living in Egypt. And one day, one of the pharaohs, just wakes up, and he looks around, and there are just all these Hebrew people living in Egypt, and he decides that, man, they could outnumber us easily, and so he forgets about God, he forgets about Joseph, and so he enslaves them. And so for 400 years, the people of Israel are enslaved. And at one point in time, they get so fearful because the Hebrew people are just multiplying and multiplying that they pass a law that they're going to kill all the baby boys that are born. And so there's this mother who, obviously there's probably lots of mothers that don't like this idea, but one mother decides to take matters into her own hands. And when her son was born, she put him in a little reed basket and she sent him down the Nile River. See, they were supposed to just throw the babies. These baby boys are supposed to be tossed into the Nile River. What a terrible, horrible sight. But she puts her son in a basket and she pushes him down to where some of the Egyptian women were bathing. It says that the daughter of Pharaoh comes upon this basket where this little boy is, and she looks at him and she has compassion on him, and she draws him up out of the water and she takes him home to raise him herself. And his name is Moses because she says, I drew him from the water. Now, they come up with a way that Moses' mom is still involved in his life because she has to go and find a Hebrew woman to help raise this child. And so Moses' mother is in his life. And so Moses is a very complex young man. He's a Hebrew son that was born and spared when all of his, you know, kind of counterparts were being thrown into the Nile River and killed. He's raised in the palace as the grandson of Pharaoh, this prince of Egypt. But he's got an identity crisis. He's not really sure who he is. He identifies with his people, the Hebrews, because his mom helped raise him, but he was also raised in the palace. And so one day he's out walking where the Israelites were working, and he sees this slave driver, this Egyptian, who's beating a Hebrew worker, a Israelite. And so Moses looks around and sees that nobody's watching, and he murders this slave driver. And he says he buries his body in the sand. And it says a few days later, he's walking out amongst the Hebrew people and that he sees two of them fighting each other. And so he steps in and tries to break up the fight. It's like, why are we fighting each other, right? We have a common enemy, the Egyptian. Why are you two fighting each other? And so they look at him and they push back on him and they say, what, are you going to murder us as well? And so Moses gets afraid. He's like, people know what I've done. And it says that Moses runs. Moses runs like 300 miles away and decides that he's just going to get out of there. And what we find next is kind of what we see in a lot of movies portrayed, especially like superhero movies or, you know, I don't know if you're familiar kind of with this motif, but there's this flawed main character, okay? One of the ones that kind of I always think about is Wolverine. There's one of the Wolverine movies where basically Wolverine is like living in a cabin in the woods. He's kind of tried to forget all about his past, forgot about who he was, and he's trying to start a new life. He's got a wife or a girlfriend that he's living with, and he's just trying to stay under the radar, just kind of live this quiet life. And so that's what Moses is doing. He runs away. He's trying to stay off the grid. He's found a wife, and he's raising sheep, and when we see this hero that's kind of doing this, there's a few things that are always happening. Number one, they're always running from something. Something's happened in their past that's caused them to just disconnect, all right? They're always afraid. They're always afraid that their past is gonna catch up with them or that something's gonna happen. They're always kind of living with like, just kind of peeking back over their shoulder. And the third thing is that, especially in movies when we see this happen, there's always something that happens that draws them back, right? There's some emergency or something happens where they get drawn back out of this kind of situation they're in. And this is exactly what happens in the life of Moses. You know, if you look back at kind of everything that was happening with Moses and you kind of think about Moses, you know, Moses was really kind of born into his wilderness season. He was kind of born into it with everything that's happening around him. And what we see here, where we find Moses living out kind of in exile in this land called Midian, is that in the wilderness, we wrestle with God. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. We just read the end of chapter 2 when we were beginning this morning, but I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 6 verses here and pick up on where Moses is in this story. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God." Did you hear what it says? Moses is literally taking his sheep into the wilderness, right? And it kind of just, it is a larger part of Moses' whole story. He's out tending these sheep. But something happens. Something happens that takes his attention off of the sheep and onto this bush, because it's on fire, but it's not burning up. I wonder how many of us are kind of going through life just with our focus on something kind of mundane, and it would take God literally lighting a bush on fire to get our attention off of the thing that we've kind of put all of our attention on. You know, Moses is tending sheep, but God had something much larger intended for him. God had spared his life for a reason. God had a purpose for Moses, and he's tending these sheep, and that's where all of his focus is, until God kind of steps in and gets Moses' attention. What does he say here? He says, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." After he gets his attention, God speaks to Moses. And just a little commentary, you know, I think that in our society, we maybe have come too relaxed in how we approach God. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about the kind of clothes we wear when we worship. I'm not talking about the kind of windows that are in your church, or even the kind of seats that we sit in when we come. But I'm just talking about this casualness that we have in approaching God. What is Moses being told by God in this situation? God is saying, "Don't come at me flippantly. Don't come at me casually. Come to me in fear and respect, because I am Creator God." And so Moses comes to God. And now we pick up in verse 10 of chapter 3. This is what God says to Moses. "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." This is the calling that God has on Moses' life. God is calling Moses out of his wilderness and into action. You see? And I think that sometimes in the middle of our wilderness, God has got something that he wants us to do. He's trying to call us out, but we've become comfortable there. We may not like it, but we've become too apathetic to get out. And so in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God calls Moses out of the wilderness. But look at how Moses responds in verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses is like, "Hey, I've been there. They want me dead there. There's a bounty on my head. And, my own people, the Hebrews, they didn't want anything to do with me. They pushed me away. The Israelites, they don't identify with me. The Egyptians, they now want me dead because I murdered somebody." He's like, "I can't go back there." And so Moses comes up with excuses of why we can't go. This is the wrestling match that we're really talking about. I mean, Moses has been wrestling with God his entire life, really. But this is the moment where it meets its climax. In the wilderness, we wrestle with God. And I don't know what your wrestling looks like. I don't know how much you kind of go back and forth with God, trying to discern what it is he's calling you to do. Maybe you feel like he's calling you to take action in something and you don't feel qualified for it. But that's what Moses is doing. He's wrestling back and forth with God in the midst of the wilderness. And I want to look at three things, really, three excuses that Moses gives that I think that you and I give to God as well. When we're in this wrestling match with God, when we're in this place where maybe God's trying to call us out of the wilderness, these are three excuses that we use that are common for all of us, but they're the ones that Moses uses specifically. First one he says, and you kind of saw it there in verse 11 just a little bit, but we're gonna dive deeper into it. He says, "Who am I?" He says, "I'm a nobody," right? He says, "Who am I to tell the Pharaoh to let the Israelites free?" Look with me in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 3 of Exodus. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." And so we see here that Moses is like, "What am I even gonna say to them? Who am I? I'm nobody. I can't go to them. What would I even tell them? Who should I tell them sent me?" And I love this answer from God. Who else could give this answer? God says, "You wanna know my name? You wanna know who sent you? Tell them that I am sent you." What's that name represent? What does it mean? It means that he always has been and always will be. Who created the heavens and the earth? I am. Who told the planet where it should sit just perfectly to get the right amount of sunlight? I am. God is saying, the Almighty Creator God, the Father of your ancestors, that is who has sent you. And so, you and I sometimes feel unqualified. We don't feel like we're anybody. But do you know that you are a son, that you are a daughter of the Creator God. It is not so much, you know what God's really saying? He's like, you know what, Moses, you're right. You're a nobody. But guess what? I am somebody. And it's me, Creator God, who is sending you. You're right, Moses, you're nobody. But I'm about to make you somebody. Because I'm empowering you and I'm sending you to go on my behalf. And so in the middle of your wilderness, you might feel like you're nobody. In the middle of the struggle, in the middle of your wrestling match with God, you may feel like that you're unqualified, but I want you to know that the God that you serve has qualified you. Second excuse that we make, so the first one is right, who am I? I'm nobody. The second one is this, I'm not good at this. And this is an excuse that Moses uses. And if you want to flip ahead a chapter to Exodus chapter 4, look with me in verse 10. Moses says this. He says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. What's Moses saying? He's like, I can't do this. I'm not any good at this, right? I don't have the gifts. I don't have the skills. And God wants you to know that it's not about your gifts. It's not about your skills. It's not about you. It's about Him. And so God reassures Moses that He is going to teach him and tell him what to say. And this wrestling match goes back and forth as Moses continues to come up with excuses of why he can't do this. And God continues to breathe life into Moses by telling him that he's going to be with him every step of the way, that he's going to give him everything that he needs to accomplish. See, God isn't calling you to something that he's not going to equip you to do. God's not calling you to something that he's not going to come alongside of you every step of the way for. What we have to do is we have to have the courage to simply say yes. And I'll tell you, the wilderness can be a really difficult place for us to say yes in the middle of. We're feeling alone, we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we're feeling like that God has abandoned us, and in the middle of that, he's calling us out, he's calling us to do something, he's calling us to take action, to take movement. It can be hard. So Moses says, who am I? I'm nobody. He says, I'm not any good at this. And then the last excuse that Moses uses is a really bold one. He just simply says, I'd rather not. Hey, God, I'd rather not do that. I don't suggest we say this to God, but this is Moses' tactic. And look at what Moses says, or what happens in verse 13. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. This is Moses who walks across the dried Red Sea, right? This is Moses who leads God's people into freedom. And when given the task, his first thought is, hey, can you send somebody else? Can somebody else please do this? And maybe you felt that way. Maybe you feel like that as God is calling you, that you wish that he would send somebody else. You know, maybe you've got a family situation going on, and God's calling you to kind of step up and take some leadership in that, to kind of bring everybody together, to offer comfort to everybody, and you're just thinking, God, could you send somebody else? Maybe there's a situation going on at work where, you know, I mean, there's some people that just really need some comfort. They need somebody to speak life into them. Somebody needs some counseling. And you're just like, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have the right words to say. Can you just send somebody else? I want to read for you what God responds back to Moses. And this is in Exodus chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. This is what God says. First, it says this: then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And God had had enough. He said, Moses, I called you to do this, and we're going to do this together. But God was frustrated. But I love what God does here. He doesn't strike down Moses. He doesn't punish Moses. No, he goes from being angry with Moses to then continuing to double down on encouraging Moses that he's going to be with him every step of the way. Look at what it says. It says, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. What we see in the life of Moses is a reflection of every single one of us. We go through these wilderness seasons and we wrestle with God. We're flawed, lost souls. You know, the story of Moses is refreshing because maybe in Sunday school when you were a little kid, you would hear these stories and you just thought, man, these people are superhuman. They're all so perfect and I could never live up to that, but the exact opposite's true. Moses killed somebody and he hid it. He ran off and he was in hiding. He struggled to accept the calling that God put on his life, and ultimately he would surrender and he would fulfill God's promise for the Israelite people. We began this morning with this passage about how God heard the cries of his people, and how he stepped in to do something about it, and he used Moses. But Moses was reluctant. And I want you to know something today, that God has heard our cries too. He has heard your cry from your wilderness. And he's done something about it. He sent someone, not Moses. Now, Moses was a flawed, broken, reluctant hero in this story, but he sent his son Jesus, who doesn't bat an eye when asked to go in and free God's people. No, he goes to a cross, takes on our sin and shame, and there is no wrestling with God. He freely and humbly accepts what God has asked him to do. He succeeds where all of us fail. And so I want you to know today that God has heard your cry in the wilderness, and he has sent Jesus to make you free, and that through Jesus, all of us have freedom from our sin and freedom from this slavery that we're trapped into. And so if you'd like to learn more about following Jesus, I'll be down front this morning. I'd love to talk to you about that. But in this season of wilderness that you're in, as you're wrestling with God, it really comes down to these couple things: God's will versus my will, my comfort versus God's mission. And so there comes a point in this wrestling match where we need to realize that we're outmatched, that God is all powerful. And we just humbly open our hands and submit and surrender to what it is that God is calling us to do. From within your wilderness, God is calling you out. And he's calling you to make life-changing impact. And the only question is, will you say yes? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today, God. I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, that comes and rescues us from the midst of our wilderness, God. And I thank you so much that you've called us to take action, called us to step into people's lives, God, called us to be present. And I pray that we could receive that call. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.